Good morning. Good day. Hello. How are you? Sounds like, who's that? Forrest Gump. No. Truman Show. Good morning. Howdy. Good morning. Good day. Good night. Good evening. This is Macy from his man cave. I hope you are well, dear listener. It's been a while again. I know. If you're a regular listener, you'll know I made a commitment at the start of January to do more regular podcasts, and that has basically just fucking fallen by the wayside completely. I'd like to blame, what can I blame? Blame lots of things. Work, been working a lot, travelling a lot. Kids, sick as fuck. Not sick in the head, but sick. coughing. The twins, my lovely twins, Millie and Tilly, have been ill, constantly ill, since January. Coughing, rashes. We've had days off school, we've had medicine, we've had pretty much everything. If I could go in the old DeLorean, I would go back in time and buy shares in Benelin, cough mixture, and Calpol, because I have spent a fucking fortune on those two items over the past 2 months. But yes, hopefully they've turned a corner. They've just got this hacking cough. I don't know what, they've been to the doctors. I think Gemma's taken them, my wife Gemma has taken them to the doctors about 3 or 4 times. And I think Tilly had measles, but we're not quite sure if it was measles. But just this cough there's something going around, apparently a 100-day cough, which if they were starting in January, so we're probably into 60 days of it, but it feels like it, and it feels like a 100-day cough. There was a 100-days war once, wasn't there? England went to war, as we like to do. So I am sorry. I do not know how proper podcasters do it. I really don't. I think I've mentioned before, Bill Burr, the American comedian, he does 2 podcasts a week. And he's a comedian. He goes on tour. He writes a TV show, a cartoon show on Netflix called, what's that called? I started watching it. I thought it was all right. Family dad, something to dad, anything. Anyway, it's all about him growing up and his old man, who's this loudmouth, a bit like Homer Simpson, I guess, a bit like Family Guy, I guess. And he does that, and then he's in movies, and he does 2 podcasts a week. I mean, Joe Rogan does, there's at least once a week, innit? Saying that, in one's defence, they do get fucking paid millions of pounds to do their podcast, don't they? Whereas I don't think my listenership has warranted or is anywhere close to being a revenue generating enterprise. Although, you know, if there's any listeners out there that have a product that you think Macy's Man Cave could sponsor, Mr. Benelin, if there's anyone listening from Benelin or Calpol, I'd be more than happy to do a sponsorship deal. Let's get it on. I could do the ad in my head now. You know, do you have children? Hang on, let me think. Do you have children that cough constantly throughout the night, throughout January and February? You need Benelin. Benelin cough mixture. Available for all children over the age of 3 years old. 5 millimetres a day, 4 times a day. I'm sure that Benelin will help them. Will smooth their throats and help them to an easier night's sleep or something shit like that. I haven't got it sorted out in my head, have I, really? That's really just scuppered any plans of Benelin giving me a ring. Go to benelin.com and use the promotion code for 10% off your first order. Everyone does that, don't I? I wonder if they're successful, all these podcasts. Go to what's that one? They're always flogging IP. What are the things? What do you call them? Oh, fuck it, it's early. By the way, I didn't give you a time check, did I? It is 5:03 a.m. on Saturday, the... What is it? Shit. 9th of March. 5:03 a.m. Shitty night's sleep. Yeah, I don't know. Was it IP? They do the firewall things, isn't it? Where you can... Simply Safe, is it? Simply Safe. No, that's the security one. They're either flogging the... I'm trying to think of the word. There's a proper word for it, isn't there? You're probably screaming at me now. They're flogging that stuff that means you can log onto your Netflix from America and still watch British programs, or log on to Netflix in England with your American Netflix and watch your American programs. And it's all to do with your IP address, and I can't remember the name of it. So they're always flogging that. They're always flogging some fucking... All the American podcasts, they've got this postal service. Can't remember what that's called either, because it's too early. This is a really good start. That's why I can't claim that. I guess that's why I can't claim that it's quality over quantity when it comes to my podcast, I'm afraid, dear listener. It doesn't get much better than this. I've said it before. I am going to have a drink, sorry. Got some hot chocolate. It's freezing down here. So it has been a while. Where was I? I digress. I just had, so it's 5 a.m. I've been awake since 4:15. I've had a shitty night's sleep again. And I thought I'd sleep like a baby. Because like yesterday I went to Newcastle and back. I didn't do it in a day. Went to Newcastle on Thursday. And then I went to, Manchester Wednesday, drove to Manchester and back in the day. I left at 3:30 a.m. to go to Manchester on Wednesday and left Manchester at 2:30. When I set off from sunny Manchester, wasn't raining, Manchester in Northern England, if you know, you know. Set off at 2:30 and it was telling me that it was telling me I was going to get home, just gone 6, and then the M6 was closed, and I was on it and there was no way to get off it, and that added 2 hours to my journey, didn't go until about 8. So that was a fucker. And then Thursday, did I work from home? The very next day I went to Newcastle, had to work on the train, no sleep for Mr. Mason. And then came back from Newcastle yesterday on the train, mobbed. See, Newcastle, if you know, Newcastle in the northeast is a mighty fine town. It's very hilly. Lots of nice architecture. Old buildings, historic buildings. Huge like bridge. If you've seen the Sydney Harbour Bridge, it's like a baby version of that. Apparently that's going to close down for 4 years soon, just so you know. But they are fucking mental, those northerners. They are fucking mental. They go out every night. They drink every night. And all the birds, all the women... Oh, happy International Women's Day for yesterday. Just add to another day. Everyone, there's a day for everything now, isn't there? It's like LGBTQZXYZ day every fucking day. There's everything. It's Ramadan we're in now, obviously respectful to that. But what else is there? So it's International Women's Day. It's got fucking Mother's Day on Wednesday. Sorry, fucking Mother's Day. Mother's Day on Sunday, this Sunday. Hats off to anyone on Mother's Day who is taking their mother out. We are taking, me and my girls are taking Gemma out for a meal. I am missing West Ham United again. I don't know why I have a season ticket, the amount of fucking games I miss at the moment. Having said that, the quality of the football has not been of the standard that most West Ham fans have come to expect, or it would seem, on Twitter, stroke X. There's a bit of an internal war going on at the moment. Moyes out, Moyes in, best thing since sliced bread, fucking football's boring. I mean, it's always been fucking up and down. If you're a West Ham fan, if you've been a West Ham fan as long as me or longer, you know it's always been up and down. We haven't won, it's 44 years, 44 years since we won a domestic trophy on the 10th of May, 1980, in the 11th minute, Trevor Brooking header. Paul Allen getting cropped down by Willie Young, ginger fucking Scottish bastard. Yeah, so could have made it 2-0. But anyway, I digress. But hats off to you if you're doing something for your mother or your wife and you're missing football. Brave men and women. Well, but yeah. If you go to, if you're just leaving, abandoning your mother and going to watch West Ham versus Burnley, you're very brave. I've put my... No one wanted my ticket. I tried to sell my ticket. No one wanted it. No one wanted it. I couldn't even give it away. And I've put it on the resale. You can put your season ticket or you can put your ticket on the resale site at West Ham. And that has had no takers so far. But yeah, you're very brave, I think. Because I couldn't do it. It just would not be worth... My life would not be worth living if I, on a Sunday, on Mother's Day, told Gemma that... have a nice day. I'm off to West Ham. It just would not have worked. Would not have got down well at all. So we're going out. Going out for a meal. So I'm looking forward to that. As I said, woke up really early. And I woke up having had the most vivid dream. And it's really weird because when you have sleep like mine, which is interrupted on a regular basis, waking up like every couple of hours, you kind of dream a lot. You have different dreams. And the last dream, and for me, my dreaming seems to, it always seems to finish on a high, it always seems to finish on a really weird dream, my last dream of the night. And it's just fucking mad. So do you know Tony Hadley? Picture Tony Hadley of Spandau Ballet. Do you remember them? The 80s Spandau Ballet with hits. Such as True, So True, Funny How It Seems, that one, and Gold, Always Believe in Your Soul, which West Ham nicked, Carlton Cole, Always Believe in Your Soul, I don't know, anyway, but Tony Hadley was in the toilets of a pub that I walked into. this is God's Gospel True, it's just fresh in my mind. In Newcastle, and because Newcastle was on my mind, and I walked into this pub. I was in this pub, and it was a Victorian pub, but it was like a posh Victorian pub. And I walked into the toilets, and it was like, it was like the toilets had been refurbished, the bloke's toilets. So it had those, the blokes you'll know about, you'll understand what I'm talking about, women maybe not so much. So the urinals where you have a little step up and then they're these huge kind of freestanding things that go up to your chest, these urinals. It literally, you know, you'd be very hard pressed to sprinkle anywhere other than in the urinal, right? And it was all red tile on the floor. It was freezing as fuck. And I'm in there and I'm having a pee, and I think that was because that was the kind of toilet there was at Newcastle Station when I left last night. Anyway, I'm in there and someone starts banging the condom machine. So I had a condom machine, obviously, vending machine in the toilets, as you used to do in back in the day. Oh, I still do. Do you still see them? I definitely see them. You definitely see them, didn't you? Yeah, they're still about, aren't they? And they sell either condoms, like fake Viagra, sometimes toothbrushes. I've seen those. But anyway, Tony had, and so he's banging it and banging it and going, for fuck's sake, fuck, and he's banging this machine. And I finish, and I turn around, and it's Tony Hadley, right? And he goes, fucking, you'd think they'd fucking take card. I went, what? And he went, you'd think they'd fucking take card. And I went, what are you on about? And he went, it's just fucking £3 coins. And he'd put £3 coins in. It was like his last £3 coins. He went, you ain't got any coins, have you? Have you got any coins? He was asking me to help him buy condoms from this machine. And I went, mate, I don't carry cash. He went, that's what I'm fucking saying. Oh, he was having that words to that effect. Anyway, he said, I ain't got fucking time for this. I got to go and sing. So I went out because he obviously couldn't get his condoms. The condom machine didn't take cards. And he was singing when I came out the toilet. But he wasn't singing any... It was really weird. He wasn't singing any Spandau Ballet song. He was singing this. I thought I'd play it. Cause it's just the most ridiculous thing for him to...
Well now, we call this the act of nature.
This is ages.
There are several other very important...
He wasn't obviously saying this
human
bit.
...human beings and animals that you should know about.
Remember this back in the day? A couple of years ago? At least. How long was this? 1999. Back in the day. A couple of years ago. 25 years ago. 25 years ago. Don't worry, I'm not going to play it all. It's just get to the chorus, just so you could fully understand and appreciate what Tony Hadley was singing after his little run-in with the cash-only condom machine in the pub. I mean, so that was my dream. I just thought I'd share that with you. As I said, it's quality of podcast over quantity, all right? I hope I'm not disappointing. But Bloodhound Gang, yeah. They were weird as fuck, actually. They had another song I will play. Mope, this one. Sponsored. No, it's not sponsored. Sampled pretty much everything.
Yeah, Tupac Shakur.
Nah, bitch. I'm talking about motherfucking Falco and shit.
What? Falco?
Have you ever heard this? Weird. It, like, samples, like, loads of different records. How many can you pick out?
On the holdie, old girls got me sweating to the holdies, hanging out like double D,
sip Long Island iced tea,
with Mayor McCheese,
shake a shamrock shake please,
3 o'clock on the dot, time to cruise for 8th graders,
rather tip the weather channel so that I can watch it later,
reruns are reruns, so what's happening,
he's knocked up and rocked on crack again,
deep throat, a whole natty body, make whoopee,
do a batch of silly putty,
make a spam and Colgate sandwich and ate it,
go through National Geographic and drop panties on the media,
so I like to dance naked,
in front of my pets,
but my cat was in attendance,
so I sent him UPS,
play
spin the bottle. With my mom, I
on top
with no pants on.
Plus a lot of views, nothing going on. Labor than the Pope, playing the Walter King Kong. Fucking out like Tori Spelling ties. Better than the parents on a party of five. Luciano Pavarotti on a treadmill. Not going nowhere, slim chance we will. Let's hit the Bo Jackson. Born like one, dick around like Reagan goes to high.
Anyway, that's enough of that as well, isn't it? Yeah, Bloodhound Gang. Whatever happened to them, eh? Yep. Crazy Americans, you crazy Yanks. But yeah, that was my Tony Hadley dream story. So, what a way to start, hey? Hang around for more quality content. So I've done my apology. Let's get back to me notes. Done my apology. I have been still off the booze, by the way. So I've been doing all right on that front. Oh, no, that was the other reason. So the other reason why I haven't had a podcast is, for a while, is the house has been fucking upside down. I mean, I thought I'd mention it last year, whenever my last fucking podcast was. We had a massive, massive leak in the lounge. Boiling hot water, crescendoing through the ceiling at 1 a.m. in the morning into our lounge, and left all the insurance company negotiations to Gemma, because that's what she does. And basically the house has been upside down for the past month. We haven't had a lounge, we haven't had a spare room, because everything from the lounge is in the spare room. We've basically had a kitchen downstairs to live in, because we've got a very, very long lounge and it kind of goes into the girls' play area. So that's been repainted, replastered, repainted, and hopefully that's going to be finished by next Friday now. New carpet due. And Gemma has used the opportunity to, it's like we got get it's like consultation and communication between me and my wife sometimes is lacking, I must say, because a painter was painting the kitchen yesterday, and I was like, the fucking leak wasn't in the kitchen. But you know, he's here, so he may as well do it. So he's painting the kitchen yesterday. So we didn't really have a kitchen yesterday either, although I wasn't around, so that's fine. And that's getting done. The front garden's done now, so that's been upside down. And we just got to get some railings. Gemma was well chuffed the other day because she was taking the blinds down or putting them up, one of the two, in the lounge. And she had the window open, and two boys apparently rode past our front garden, stopped, went, whoa, that's a mint front drive, innit? She was like, well, happy, thumbs up. So, yeah, she's happy. Gemma's happy. We got a happy mummy. But, yeah, I've been off the booze. So we're now in month three of alcohol-free 2024 so far. Still undecided whether we will... how long that will last, but Gemma and me are doing pretty well, I would say. I think we haven't got past that stage where there's been times where we would both of us would want to have a drink, and I have had some alcohol-free Guinness. Gemma had a curry last night, and she had a alcohol-free Heineken, which I took. The Guinness is really good. I don't drink Guinness that often, and that's so. Therefore, I don't really have that kind of lasting memory of Guinness, because I probably have gone years without having a pint of Guinness. But my son recommended it, and so I've had a few pints of that. I've got some zero Guinness in the fridge, and it just for me it just tastes like Guinness. Or what I remember Guinness tasting like. Gemma bought some wine, alcohol-free wine, and it was fucking rank. It was Sarsen's. Well, it wasn't even Sarsen's. You would not put it on your chips, trust me. But then I think that's because we both used to drink wine like it was water. So you obviously notice a massive difference. I used to drink Heineken's. I had a sip of the Heineken yesterday, and that, yeah, tastes like booze. But I just... there's something in me now, which is like when I've had a Guinness, 0% Guinness, it's like I've had one. Whereas if I was having alcohol, I'd have four or five. But you just have a Guinness and you go, oh, yeah, this Guinness is drink. But you don't feel, I haven't felt the need once I've had one can to have another and another and another and another, which is pretty much my story of alcohol. This is all or nothing. But yeah, still interested to see where this will all end, I guess. Where will it all end? You've only got to look at a picture of Gazza, the footballer, to see what booze does to you. I think he's the same age as me, and he looks like fucking some old granny, doesn't he? So yeah, that is a sorry, sad tale. So I've been smashing the gym. Been doing lots of saunas, which I really do like a sauna. I really do like a sauna. I've got a sauna in my local club, and I've got a sauna in the gym that I go to in Northampton when I'm up in Northampton. And yeah, I do like a sauna. I think the only downside of a sauna is other people in the sauna. I really aren't one of those social animals, really, that kind of goes into a sauna for the communal aspect. Do you know what I mean? I'd be more than happy just to go into a sauna and it to be empty every time I go in there. I say that there's a lady who goes into the sauna in Northampton who works at the university. We've had a couple of conversations. She works at the university. And she's nice, and we have a little chat, and she asked about why. She said, I haven't seen you around, I think it was, and I was explaining, I only come once or twice a week, tops, because I'm only up here for business. And so we have this, did you drive up this morning? Because sometimes I drive up really early and then go to the gym before going to work, and all that kind of stuff. But generally, I'm not one of those people that wants to have a chat. Although sometimes it can help the time go quicker. And there is this guy, this old guy, 70, 60, 67, he's not that much older than me really, is he? Fucking hell, I'm only 54, I keep forgetting. Yeah, that was like a couple of years ago, Bloodhound Gang, it was like 25 years ago. But yeah, he likes to talk about motorbikes. And what I know about motorbikes, you could write on a postage stamp. And he actually said to me, he said, I like to ride my motorbike. Do you like motorbikes? And I was like, oh, not really. Well, I've never had one. And I've never had it. And I've never had a motorbike. No, I've never been motorcycling. No, I've told him, and he went, oh, I love motorbikes. I love motorbikes. And then he tells me about, his little trips. Oh, I'm going on a trip tomorrow. I'm going up to the Lose Your Head Gap or something up in North Yorkshire tomorrow. Me and my mates, we're all driving up there, and it's like everyone, he goes, do you know it? I was like, no, I've never been to the Lose Your Head Gap, mate. No, he went, it's brilliant for motorbikes. Yeah, do you like motorbikes? And I have the same conversation with him, every week. It's normally, today's Saturday, isn't it? Yes, I'll be down the club today. He might be in the club today. He'll go, do you like motorbikes? I'm going to the Lose Your Limbs Valley tomorrow in Wales with me mates. Do you know it? And then you have those conversations. And then the other thing I've found is there's different, when you're on your own, you don't have to say goodbye to anyone, you don't have to have that kind of, right, I'm going now, I know it's been nice talking to you or whatever, but you can just leave, because you don't have to say au revoir to anyone. And I'm still trying to find the perfect sign off for exiting a sauna. And I was this is how fucking sad I am. I was kind of like logging people's exit strategies from saunas. And what did I hear? What have I heard over the past couple of weeks? I've heard no rest for the wicked. That's no rest for the wicked as you exit. That's me then. Whatever that means. That's me then. Two up for me. back to the grind. This won't undo itself. Onwards and upwards. Onwards and upwards. So, I kind of end. What have I done? I have said. I think my normal one is something along the lines of, yeah, gotta go, or yeah, something really mundane and boring. Or that's why it's just better if you're on your own. You don't have to kind of come up with the exit, the sauna exit strategy. Been doing a lot of saunas. Been doing a lot of swimming. A lot of swimming. And I like swimming. And again, I got a pool in my local club, David Lloyd Club. Got a pool in the one in Northampton. And I was swimming the other day. The one in Northampton is just fucking... I think you must be swimming in chlorine. How people... Because my skin's always irritating, my eyes are always irritable, and it's just like the worst. It's like the smell is with you all day. Doesn't matter how much you scrub, it's just that real chloriney smell, and it's really annoying. They've just got to sort it out, but it does remind me of my youth. And we used to go to this swimming pool with school in York. And it was, I want to say Victorian. It was like a Victorian swimming bath. It was like one of those proper, if you imagine it, like one of those, you know, real Art Deco brick buildings, but it just absolutely stank of chlorine. And everything was that real hard fucking tile everywhere. You know, the kind of tile that if you was to jump off the side of the pool and catch your head on the side of the pool, you're dead. It's like that really thick tile, walls, floors, ceilings, and we'd go there on the bus. And it was. I think it was called Yearsley Baths, and it was right next door to the Roundtree's chocolate factory in York. York in Yorkshire used to have, in England, you may or may not know, used to have. The biggest, one of the biggest sweets and chocolate manufacturers in the world, let alone England and Europe. It had huge Roundtree's chocolate factory. I think it still has got a Roundtree's chocolate factory, which is now owned by Nestle. But it used to be independently owned, you know, in the 1700s, 1750s, Joseph Roundtree. I think he's got a foundation that he still does, and there was a park named after him, but it's huge chocolate factory. And to those of you listening, if you've heard of Kit Kats, they invented them. So Kit Kats was the main one, I think, that sent them kind of worldwide, Roundtree's. And I know Kit Kats are, you can get them in America, can't you? You can get them in Australia, no, Japan. They do like fucking millions of different varieties of Kit Kat flavours. The same principle, they're like chocolate with wafer, but they have like fucking wasabi flavour and curry flavour and all that kind of stuff because they're Japanese and they're fucking batshit crazy. But anyway, where was I? Oh yeah, you had Roundtree's Chocolate Factory and then you had Terry's. Now Terry's, you'll know Terry's if you've ever had a chocolate orange. They used to do Terry's All Gold, like there'd be like milk tray or whatever, like the box of chocolates that you used to get. Terry's, was it? Did they make Fry's Turkish Delight? Oh, I guess that might have been Fry's. They used to do something else. I'm trying to think what it was. Was it a walnut whip? Or something, or a cream or something. But anyway, Terry's had a massive, massive, massive chocolate factory. That was bang next door to, right next door to York Racecourse, a really world famous racecourse, which I used to work at, by the way, in my youth. But I don't want to go down that rabbit hole. But yeah, so Terry's Chocolate Factory, that's closed down. I think that's all houses now. but it's like a listed building, huge building. And then you add, what was the other one? Cravens. And so Cravens sweets used to make boiled sweets, whereas Roundtree's was chocolate, cocoa-based products. Terry's the same, chocolate, mainly chocolate, all that kind of confectionery was based around chocolate. And then Cravens was your boiled sweets, like your hard candy. I should imagine they made pear drops and what's the other shit that you used to get, cough candy twists and all that kind of stuff. I think I mentioned cough candy twists last week. So it used to be the sweet capital of England, and now I think Roundtree's is still there. Terry's is definitely not there. They went to fucking Poland or something. They got bought out. It's like what that happens to most long-standing British institutions that, you know, were founded in the 1700s, 1800s, and were kind of these huge kind of factories. I guess a bit like the mine. I guess York's version, because York didn't have any mines. Most places in Yorkshire had pits and collieries back in the day before Thatcher closed them down. Thatcher's Britain. But York wasn't like that. We didn't have a mine. We just had chocolate. Just imagine working at a chocolate factory was probably better than working down a mine, down the pit. But yeah, most of that gets flogged. But I'm pretty sure, I didn't check, but I'm pretty sure Roundtree's is still operating from York. But when I was growing up as a kid, you know, because the other thing they had in York, I guess, was it linked? Maybe, well, I don't know if it was linked specifically to the fact that we had so much chocolate and sweet manufacturers. We had a sugar beet factory in York. Quite close to where I used to live, actually, and huge thing, and it used to pump out this smell. This is where it was leading me. This smell of, it was really weird. I think you either love it or hate it. If you've ever smelt sugar being refined, it's just a really, it's so hard to describe, but it's not like a whole year thing. You'd never smell it in the summer. It was only like in the autumn and the winter. And I'd leave my house, because we lived on a hill. I'd leave my house and to get on my bike without lights. Do you remember that one? I mentioned this last podcast. With working lights, because I didn't want to get a clip around the ear from a copper. But it'd be freezing cold, or it'd be snowy, or it'd be wet and rainy, and you'd instantly smell in the air the smell of kind of the winter air mixed with this vapor, I suppose it was, that came from the sugar beet factory chimney. And all the trucks used to have to go up Poppleton Road in York, which was this big, this long road up to the school and up to the sugar beet factory. And back in the day, obviously, they used to fill these fucking trucks with as much sugar beet as they possibly could. And so you'd be riding your bike and, like, you just fucking, all of a sudden you'd hit this fucking great big beet. Like a beetroot, but a sugar version, like a huge fucking potato that had fallen off one of the vans, and you go arse over tit on your fucking bike. And then in the winter with the snow, it was really weird. So in the winter, in the snow, like the sugar beet that had fallen off the trucks used to then get crushed by cars following it. So this road used to be this kind of horrendous mix of melted snow, crushed beets, fucking mud. It was terrible. But I think that closed down in 2006 or something. That's probably all housing as well now. So yeah, we had a bit of a sugar rush going on in York. And where was my train of thought going on this one? Kids. So when I was a kid, that's it, fucking hell. I will get there tonight. So as a kid, you had a parent that either worked for Roundtree's, Terry's, Cravens, the Sugar Beet Factory, was the other one? Oh, the railways, basically. That was generally... You wouldn't be surprised at all if, you know, you said, oh, what does your dad do? Oh, he works at the railways. Or what does your dad do? Oh, he works at Terry's or Chocolate or whatever, or Roundtree's. But you'd love to go around your mate's house where one of their parents lived, worked at one of the chocolate factories or the sweet factories, because they would get all the seconds. They would have first dibs. It was like a staff perk. I remember it really clearly. And you'd go in and they'd have these big white bags of all the misshapes and all the faulty produced chocolate. Like they'd have like Kit Kat bars that just had no wafers in them. So they were just pure chocolate. And you'd go into your mum, your mate's mum and dad, oh, all right, boys. Do you want some chocolate? Do you want some sweets? And they'd produce these fucking huge white bags. And you put your hand in it. Oh, go on, take some more, lads. Take some more. And like when you used to go out, like if that you know, it wasn't like you'd go out with your mates and you'd play out all day, wouldn't you? That's what we used to do in the 70s. You'd say goodbye to your mum and dad on a Saturday, like 8 or 9 o'clock. I'm going out now. And you literally could be out and not get back till 6. And like you, there was no alarms going off, no one thinking you'd gone missing. It was just like you was out. I'm going out now. You take your bikes. I'd go out for bike. I remember taking the bikes out and going out with my mates, like, and riding. We rode to from York to Castle Howard once, which is a long fucking ride when you're a fucking 10-year-old, 11-year-old kid. I'm telling you, I don't know how long it is. And you'd be out all day. But every now and again, you'd be out all day, or you'd be, you know, halfway across the town, absolutely miles from where you live, round your mate's house, or round playing around a field or a park around your mate's house. And you could always go to one of your mates, oh, come round at mine, we'll go and get some juice from your mum's, or have a can of pop or whatever. And you'd walk in, and your eyes would light up, because you could just sense straight away from the white bags, these white bags in the kitchen that mum and dad used to work at either Roundtree's or Terry's. You'd be like, get in. That's probably why I'm the size I am. Well, actually, I'm getting there. My regular listener will know that I've been on a constant fucking health kick. It's been up and down. And I was always of the view that even though I eat healthily, relatively healthy when I compare myself to other people. I don't do takeouts, very rarely. Try and cook nice, healthy food. But the booze, so I'd go to the gym two or three times. Probably most I'd do gym-wise would be 3 or 4 days a week, because I'd be drinking pretty much every day. Either going out with clients or having a bottle of wine at home or going West Ham or whatever it is. And I was always convinced, well, that's the thing that's stopping me from having a washboard belly, from dropping some weight. It's got to be the booze. And I do think there is something. Not as much as I thought I might have lost a bit more, given it's now month 3. When you think about how many calories there are in booze, I thought I might have lost a bit more by now, but it is what it is. I'm all right. That's why I think when you kick the booze, like I have done, it's meant I've gone to the gym more regularly. So I've been like, it's very rare that there's a day that I miss now. And I fit it into my schedule. Whereas before, I'd have some booze. And if I was driving to Northampton, and if I had to booze the night before, the alarm would go off at 4:30, because that's the time I need to go to the gym or set off for Northampton. And I'd be like, fuck it, snooze, I'll leave for Northampton at 6:30, miss the gym. Or even if you do manage to drag your fat fucking ass out of bed and get to the gym, you end up doing a half-ass job, didn't you, really? So today, I'm going to be there 3 hours today. So the kids have got two clubs and then they've got gymnastics. And I will be in there. I think I'll do an hour cardio, hour free weights, and then a bit of a swim and a sauna, and then just say, that's me done when I'm done. But as I say, I might see the old bloke today, see where he's going to drive, see where he's going to drive to. I did, there was one more thing I wanted to play you today. I came across it. There used to be this guy, a lot of my listeners, one of my listeners might know. There was this guy called Michael Barrymore, right? And he was a very, very popular British entertainer back in the day when we were all growing up, or in the 80s, more of an 80s guy. And I don't know where he came from or sprung from. I don't know what his background was or his history was. But he had a very, very checkered career towards the end of his career. Because he's still alive now, I believe. But he had like number one shows. He had quiz shows. What was that one? Strike It Lucky. I'm trying to think of an equivalent in America. Regis Philbin or something. No, he was a bit more energetic. But I think he tried to start as a comedian, and then he was like, he'd be on certain. Yeah, I think he was a comedian. But anyway, he came onto the scene, and then he had his TV shows. He had like a quiz show, Strike It Lucky or something. And he'd do these kids say the funniest things. So he'd have kids on the program, and it'd be one of those really cheap programs you can make where you just ask the kids questions, like, you know, what does my, like, the mum and dad would be in the crowds, right? And you know, he'd ask them questions and they'd say something inappropriate. Oh, fucking hell, it used to be so hilarious. And but yeah, he had a checkered history towards the end of his career. Came out as gay. I think he came out as gay, like, just like without telling his wife, I think, if I remember rightly. And it might have been at some award ceremony. I could be getting my history mixed up. But he'd been married to his wife. I'm not sure if he had kids, Cheryl. And it was his agent and his wife. So I kind of think she might have known he was gay. So anyway. And then it all ended with he lived in Essex, not far from where I live, actually. But he had a big, like, mansion with a swimming pool. And there was a big drug-filled part. He had a problem with booze and drugs, obviously. And he had this big booze fueled alcohol and drug fueled party, basically gay party, sex party, sounds like, at his house. And a young lad died in his pool. I don't think he ever went to trial, but I think the lad's dad used to blame him. And anyway, why am I talking about this? Why are you talking about this, Mason, from your fucking freezing cold man cave? Well, I'm going to tell you. Just wait a minute. So, I have no idea how. Was it on X? I think it might have been on Twitter. And there was this thing which was like, there was this thread going through last week about what's the viral video that makes you laugh no matter how many times you've watched it. And then this video came up of one of his TV shows where he was singing a song. And I just got to play it for you because it's just fucking the most mental thing you'll ever hear in your life. Hang on, let me get it up. And you're gonna have to bear with me on this one, because, so I'll just set the scene. I don't know what show it is, but he's singing the song with a gospel choir in the background. And I think it's one of the programs he made, which was a bit, it was all about doing good for people, or, you know, listening to people's life stories. You know, the kind of thing, again, quite cheap to make, where he might, you know, have someone on his show and then talk to them. And, you know, Terry, let's say it's Terry, and Terry, you know, what happened to your brother, Terry? Well, we got separated in the war, Michael. And what's all happened? So, yeah, I went to, I was shipped off to, I went to stay with Mr. and Mrs. Smith in Wales. And my brother, he got shipped off to Australia, Michael. And, yeah, we just lost contact because, like, Mr. and Mrs. Smith in Wales, they were very nice. They were very good to me. But
But, you know, they couldn't afford anything. They couldn't afford to let me, you know, write letters to him. And it'd be one of those ones where you go, well, your brother, so he was Terry, he was on Brian. Your brother, Brian. Oh, yeah, he's got all right at the back. Well, what I'm going to tell you is your brother, Brian, we've bought him, we've flown him, and they'd reunite. So it's one of those kind of shows where they'd reunite people like Brian and Terry, who got separated during the Blitz, during World War II, and they'd bring them back together, and they hadn't seen each other for 40 years. But listen, bear with me. This is the song.
We'll see you when you get there, meet you when you get there. We really care and want to share some time with you. We'll meet you and greet you. We don't want to compete, we're like a team. Sometimes a dream come true. Everybody gets a chance to do what they really want to do. Yeah, what they really want to do.
Got to let you know, in the background there's this video playing of people like Edmund Hillary on top of Everest and World War II veterans, and now he's trying to dance with the gospel choir.
I'll see you when you get there, if you ever get there, see you when you get there.
Hello, my microphone fell out. Sorry. Fuck that up, then. I'll leave a link in the description. That was just... I will leave a link in the description because you've got to watch it as well. It's just a thing of pure gold. Absolute gold. On that note, Tony Hadley. Back to Tony Hadley. We've come full circle with Michael Barrymore singing. But I'll leave a link because it's just absolute batshit crazy. I think that's about it for today. A little... canter, a little muse through the history of York's chocolate factories and Tony Hadley not being able to buy some condoms. Finishing with Michael Barrymore singing, "We'll see you when we get there," with a gospel choir whilst wearing a suit, a double-breasted suit, and just looking like a complete fucking fruitcake. I will have to, I'm going to go down the rabbit hole when I've finished this podcast and see what's up with him, whether he's still alive, because I think did he go into the Big Brother house. He did a big, like, celebrity Big Brother. I think that's on again, isn't it? Fucking zero interest. I woke up this morning saying that some bloke had been evicted and it's called Celebrity Big Brother. I'm telling you now, never heard of him. Never. I reckon I will look at the list of people who are on Celebrity Big Brother and I won't know any of them. I have started watching The Gentlemen on Netflix. If you've seen the film, Guy Ritchie film, I really enjoyed that. And the TV series, I've done two episodes, and I would say it's fucking good. So I would get on it. I would definitely recommend it. It's right up your street if you like a bit of Guy Ritchie, proper lock, stock, two smoking barrels, lots of different... story threads going through, drugs, gangsters, all that kind of shit. So you know what you're getting with Guy Ritchie. Oh, actually, I say that, he also did another one recently, I think it's on Amazon Prime, called The Covenant with Jake Gyllenhaal. And it's more of an Afghan World War II thing. And I also felt that was very good. Not a single British Cockney gangster in that. It's more of an American gung-ho hero type film where he has to, his life gets saved by an Afghan interpreter and he goes back to repay the debt. I would recommend that. What shall I leave you with? Well, one of my listeners, I played some Rolling Stones a couple of weeks ago. One of my listeners recommended their last album, or their latest album, which came out last year. And I have been listening to it a lot. I must admit, I think it's really, really good. Best thing they've done for years. And I'm going to play you my favourite track, if that's okay, to play you out. Thanks for listening. I hope you have a wonderful week or two, or however long it will be until I do a next podcast. Remember, quality over quantity. And I will see you next time. And as I said, thanks for listening. And take care of yourselves. Oh, this is A Sweet Sound of Heaven, by the way.
And they're praising the Lamb.
How good was that? Sorry to interrupt. That was actually the sweet sounds of heaven. And that was actually Lady Gaga as well. And just to add, the bloke who sings that, Mick Jagger, is a year younger than Joe Biden. How mental is that? I'm ruining it, aren't I? I'm sorry. I won't interrupt anymore.